My brothers and sisters, this is a tough day for our nation. This is a tough day for our church. We all know what's going on. We all know that we've seen the images in the news. We felt the pain as we can put ourselves in the place of the family of those who have been affected. Today, I want to come from Psalm 22, the 22nd Psalm. If you could find that, I'd like for you to look it over as I allow the Lord to use me to work through the pain, to work through the concern, to work through the feelings that we have at this time. So the 22nd Psalm. And for a topic today, we'll use the feeling of forsakenness. The feeling of forsakenness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that at this moment I can share what you shared with me, Father. I pray that I can articulate your word and make it applicable to these, your people, for a time such as this. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. The question is, have you ever felt that God has forsaken you when you need him the most? Have you ever been conflicted with when your prayers are not answered in your time? You know, sometimes we even question our faith, but I encourage us to not question our faith at this time, but lean on our faith at this time. It is easy to be conflicted and faithful at the same time. As we look at this Psalm of David, David was going through a very difficult time. Now, we don't know exactly what was going on, but we do know that he was going through a time where he felt like he was forsaken. So let us look at his present condition in verse 1. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? This is the predicament that David was under. He felt like he was forsaken. You know, forsaken means that those you depend on have left you. Those who you depend on are not available to help you at a certain time. David's predicament was so terrible that he felt like God had forsaken him. Have you ever felt that way, my brothers and sisters? Have you asked the question, Lord, where are you at a time like this? I want to remind us that even Jesus, while he was on the cross in Matthew 27, 26, even Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? David feels that God is far away. Again, in that verse 1, why are you so far from helping me, Lord? Why can't I see you right now, Lord? Why can't I see your works right now, Lord? David feels that his prayer and his pleas are not being heard by God. I can imagine David saying, Lord, I'm obedient to you. So why is this happening to me? Lord, why do I feel like I've been forsaken? And that last part of that verse in the New King James translation says, and from the words of my groanings. Now in the King James, it says roarings, but in the New King James, it says groaning. So he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning. David feels that God does not feel his pain as he groans out to him. Now, it's interesting that word groaning is an adjective that denotes a deep, inarticulate sound conveying pain or despair. In other words, he's saying, Lord, why do I feel like I have a knee on my neck, Lord? Why do I feel like I'm being beat up? Why do I feel like I'm being asphyxiated? That word asphyxiation means that someone is dying because they are deprived from the air they need to breathe. To sum up this, David might be saying, Lord, I just can't breathe. We've been through a lot over the last few months. We've seen a lot. We've been asphyxiated by COVID-19, that dangerous virus that is out there that is indiscriminate and affecting us. We've been affected by what we've seen in the media in the recent days. We've been affected by George Floyd, a man who created a minor crime, if he even did that. But because of that, he lost his life. He said, I can't breathe because he had a knee on his neck. We got a chance to see another young man a few weeks ago, Ahmaud Arbery, when his story came out of just the simple act of exercising on a public street. But yet he lost his life. We saw the brother in New York who was just bird watching, and he was falsely accused. And if it had not been for the video he had, he could have very easily lost his life. All this draws comparisons to Eric Garner in 2014, who was put in a chokehold. And once he was subdued, he said, I can't breathe. The groaning sounds that come from a people, the groaning sounds that come when you're in need. Lord, where are you? I feel forsaken. I feel forsaken, Lord, because as this is happening, Lord, I see witnesses all around me, Lord, but nobody steps in to help. Lord, I feel forsaken. And he says in verse 2, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear me. And in the night season, I am not silent. What he's saying is that I cry out to you, Lord. I pray to you in the daytime, Lord. I pray to you in the nighttime, Lord. I'm praying to you all day long. But, Lord, I'm not receiving the answers that I need, Lord. Where are you, Lord? For I feel forsaken. This is what David was going through. But I encourage you to keep on reading. Because even in the midst of what he was going through, he still recognized the holiness of God. Look at verse 3, but you are holy. Lord, and I know that you are our God. I know that you are a God who is separate from all the pagans' gods that others worship. I know that you are God of the children of Israel. Again, verse 3, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. David was confident of his relationship with God, but still he was conflicted. Still he felt like he was forsaken. And he reminds himself of what God has done in the past in verse 4. He says, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you, Lord, delivered them. What he's saying is that the children of Israel from Abraham on have had a relationship with God. They put their trust in the Lord. They prayed when distressed, and he delivered them. They prayed when they were in slavery in the land of Egypt, and God delivered them. Now, it's interesting when we look at that slavery time period, they were in slavery for 400 years. Kind of brings our contemporary situation to mind. They were in slavery for 400 years. They were praying for 400 years before they were delivered. God used Moses as an instrument to set his people free. And I guess I bring that up because just because our prayers are not answered when we want them to be answered does not mean that God has said no. Maybe he's just saying not yet. Our ancestors put their trust in God as they peacefully protested for equal rights. Our people put their faith and trust in the Lord as they sought for a better day. They put their trust in the Lord. And David is saying that my ancestors put their trust in the Lord. And even though I feel forsaken, even though I am crying out to you and feel like I have not received an answer, I still believe that you are still there, that you are still working, oh Lord. Verse 5 of Psalm 22, David again talking about his ancestors. They cried to you and they were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But then he goes back to how he feels. He says in verse 6, but I am a worm and no man. I am a worm and no man. It's easy to gloss over that verse, but let us examine that for a second. I am a worm. A worm is something that is of very little value. A worm is something that crawls on the ground, and that is its lot in life. It cannot rise above the ground. It is helpless. It is unwanted. And you know, quite often we will trample on worms and we don't even know it. Worms. He's saying, that's how I feel. I feel that I am helpless at this time. I feel like I am unwanted at this time. I feel like I have a knee on my neck. This is how David felt at this time. He said he is a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me, they ridicule me. They shoot out their lips. They shake their heads. David has felt ridiculed by them. They mocked him. They hurled insults at him. Again, imagine being on a crowded street with a knee on your neck and a host of witnesses viewing what is going on. How do you feel at that time? You can feel like the worm, worthless and unwanted. Why is this happening to me? This is our reality, my brothers and sisters. We will feel like this at times in our life. And it's okay to feel like this at times in our life, because there are times that we feel like that we have no influence over what is happening. We have no influence on where the tides of life is taking us. We feel like we just have to submit to the way of being for a time period, and we cry out. We cry out. We protest. We cry out. We say it ought not to be this way. Help us, Lord. Verse 8, even those that ridicule us, they might even say, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue himself. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. There are times when people will tell us or mock us, even in the midst of our faith. If your God is so good, where is he right now? How is your God helping us right now? Or how is he helping you right now? They see our condition. Instead of seeking to be part of the solution, they will contribute to be part of the problem. Let him rescue himself. They doubt the power of our God. It reminds me that they also ridiculed Jesus when he was on the cross. They ridiculed Jesus because he was battered, he was broken. But they didn't know that he was fulfilling the will of the Father. Then in verse 9, David goes on and says, but you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. What he's saying, I've been trained to trust in you, O Lord. In the womb, I even heard my mother's prayer for me that I would lean on you and depend on you for my safety and my deliverance. You know, it's interesting, if we look at this passage, in these first 9 verses, that word trust is used 9 times. I'm sorry, it's used 5 times in 9 verses. You see that word trust used 5 times. This indicates to me that trust is an important theme in this passage. You know, growing up, we were taught or trained to trust, or who to trust in certain situations. If you ever get lost, seek out those who protect and serve, and they will help you. If you're in trouble, you can dial 911, and help will be on the way from those who protect and serve. You know, for the most part, that is correct. But we are conflicted by what we see. We all know that there are very, very good people and dedicated people in law enforcement. But the power of some has corrupted the whole force. We are conflicted when an organization whose motto is to protect and serve ends up putting us in chokeholds, or much worse, putting a knee on the neck. In verse 10, David says, I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. And I want us to remember that God has been our God throughout our lifetime. No matter what has gone on, he is still our God. And it's interesting that David talks about from his birth, from his mother's womb, he had known that God is his God, but yet he still is conflicted. And isn't it an interesting parallel that Mr. Floyd, in his dying breath, was calling out for his mother, who has been deceased for 2 years, but I kind of wonder if he was calling out to her because he knew that maybe she had taught him that God was his God. Maybe she had taught him to trust in those who protect and serve. Maybe she had taught him to do the right thing and everything will be all right. Maybe. But maybe even she had had the talk with him. Some of you know that talk. That talk that mothers and fathers of children of color have to have with their children, to let them know that all is not right with the world. To let them know that there will be times where you will feel forsaken. That no matter what your accomplishments are, that some will only see you as a black boy or a black girl. No matter how good you are, no matter how much you try to do things the right way, some will not see the content of your character, to paraphrase Dr. King, but only the color of your skin. That talk that tells you this is the way you need to walk in certain situations. That talk that tells you that you need to have a sense of restraint about you, that you can't do as others do, that there are consequences out there that are unfair and unjust. My father had the talk with me at a young age. His father had the talk with him, and I'm pretty sure his father had the talk with him. I've had the talk with my son, with my children. And it pains me that we're still going to have the talk with my grandchildren. It pains me that no matter how good things seem to be, there's still that element that will make you feel forsaken. Yes. David cried out, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far away from helping me? Why are you not hearing the groanings that are coming from my throat? Why are you not hearing that, Lord? But I want to comfort you with saying that God hears. God knows. God knows our job is to be faithful to him. And as David spent the last half of this passage talking about the trust he had, the trust his parents had in the Lord, the faith they had in God. And as he says at the end of verse 10, you have been my God from my mother's womb. There's a song that we sing in church. And the words go like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. We all know the song now. On Christ's the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. David made his foundation on the Lord. For that is the only foundation that can keep us through these terrible times. This is the only foundation that can provide stability in a time where there is not stability. When there are conflicting messages coming from our government, there is no conflicting message coming from our Savior. I encourage us at this time to pray with one another, pray for one another. The fervent prayers of the righteous truly do availeth much, as James 5 tells us. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Another verse in that song, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Darkness is the state that we are in, my brothers and sisters. When darkness seems to hide his face, we need to rest on his unchanging grace. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy truly comes in the morning. And the storms that I have experienced, my brothers and sisters, have not lasted always. They have a beginning and they have an end. But during the storms, make sure your anchor is in the solid foundation of our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, why have you forsaken me? This is the cry of a faithful servant of God. This is a cry of somebody who has been beat down so long that they have to cry out to the Lord, what is going on? But rest assured, the Lord hears and the Lord will deliver in his time. But it's up to us, my brothers and sisters, to raise our voices in a peaceful mode, to let the nation know, to let the government know that things have got to change. These are the same protests that were led by Dr. King. I even say it was the same protest that was led by Dr. Moses. The protest that said, set my people free. The same cries that our ancestors had are the same cries that we have today. I encourage us all to stay with the Lord at this time. For he is the one who got our ancestors through this, and he is the one who will carry us through this. In this time when it's hard to tell who's telling the truth, it's hard to tell the difference between good and bad, darkness and light. Jesus is the standard. So keep the faith, my brothers and sisters. Raise your voices, my brothers and sisters. Let the world know that this ought not to be, my brothers and sisters. Let them know how we feel, my brothers and sisters. And may God be with us through this journey, through this storm, through this time. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for Lord, being our God and allowing us to be your people, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we know that you know what's going on, Lord. Maybe there's a reason, Lord, why this is being revealed at this time, Lord. I believe there's a reason, Lord, why we have visual documentation of what has been going on for generations. I believe there's a reason, Lord, why you've uncovered the dark side of those that we have trust in. Lord, be with us. Care for us. And let us be united in our cry that this is not the way it ought to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. At this time, I pray for your peace. I pray for your comfort, my brothers and sisters. Next Sunday is First Sunday, where we celebrate communion. So please be prepared with bread and with drink to celebrate along with us. Until we meet again, let's continue to pray for one another, pray for our nation, pray for our people, and pray for the good to rise above the bad.